Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
There's a new OBGYN specialist in Knoxville. Let's go in-depth with Dr. Tamara Dasanayake with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So Dr. Dasanayake, long route to Knoxville. You've been in a lot of different places in your life, huh?
Yes. Started in Sri Lanka. I was born in Sri Lanka. I lived in England growing up, and then came to the U.S. for college, and went to college up in Maine, and then medical school in Nashville, Tennessee, and then worked a few different places before I came to Knoxville.
Okay, and your specialty is?
OBGYN, so obstetrics and gynecology, women's health.
And just for convenience, since a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing your name, your first name is Tamara.
Tamara.
So they call you Dr. T.
Yes, absolutely.
And is that just here, or a lot of your friends do that too?
No, just here.
Just here.
Yes, we had a Dr. Dornbeer in our practice, so he took the D. So I ended up with the T.
that explains it.
Yes.
And so how long have you been in the United States then?
Almost 30 years.
So you're at home here
Yes,
now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so you like it?
Yes, very much so. Yes, I could. My husband's last name is Owens, so I could have chosen to be an Owens, but I chose to keep my long last name.
Well, it's unique and respects your heritage and family and
right.
all that. Well, in Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt Medical School, that's one of the top schools in the country,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very good school and a great time there. It's one of those places you actually enjoy going to medical school, so it's very lucky to be there.
And OBGYN, why did you choose that specialty?
I really enjoy having a longer-term relationship with my patients, and I still like doing surgery and procedures, so that combines the two very well. So I find that, I can still see patients over their lifetimes, but still be able to do procedures and, surgeries and things like that I like to do. But unlike with general surgery, where you might just see somebody for one event, I can follow these people through their lifetimes, and that's very enjoyable for me.
What do you like about surgery?
I don't know. I think it's just it just comes easily to me, and I enjoy being in the operating room and working with my hands and just working with anatomy. And I don't know. I think it's just, I can't really quite explain why I like it, but I enjoy doing that work.
And is it pretty predictable in the sense that there's not a lot that's unexpected now this far into your career? Do you pretty much know everything that's happening when you got...
Every day is a new day, I think. There's always something to learn and to see, and that's the beauty of medicine, I think, and that's what is exciting about medicine, is that you never know everything. You actually know very little of what's out there, so I think every patient that you see, will bring a little bit of something new into your life, and I think that's very exciting.
Because all of our anatomy is different.
There's always you never quite know when you're doing surgery, for example, what you're going to find inside somebody. It could be something that's very routine, but end up, having something very unexpected. So you always have to be on your toes and use your mind all the time and, use your resources all the time. So that's the nice thing about medicine, I think, is that it never gets old.
Well, and it seems that things change all the time. New technologies, mm-hmm. new procedures. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. You're always learning new things, and sometimes you adopt those early, and sometimes you wait and see how those are going to pan out before you adopt them, depending on the procedure. So, medicine's changed a lot, even in the short time that I've been working. So, it's always exciting to learn a new procedure and learn something that can help people recover faster or have a lesser surgery, for example. So I think, that's definitely a part of what we do.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Tamara Dasanayake with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So is there a wide variety of, let's just say, procedures that are acceptable in a certain situation and doctors use it to the best of their ability and how it fits the particular situation? Or do you all get a memo on Monday morning saying we're all going to do this now, this
no,
way?
No, I think, you know, for example, for somebody who has, you know, bleeding issues and, you know, in the, later in their lives, I mean, there are many ways to approach that. And the nice thing now is that, you know, we don't necessarily have to go straight to something like a hysterectomy, like 40 or 50 years ago. We have, you know, 5 other procedures we can try first if the patient's up, you know, for trying that. So there are lots of new technologies that, you know, really are meant to help patients and their recovery and their lifestyles. And that's something that we learn, you know, every day.
So what are some of the common conditions that you treat patients for?
You know, apart from pregnancy issues, which, you know, we certainly take care of many pregnant ladies. So we do the host of pregnancy care and high-risk OB and all of those kind of things. But from a gynecological perspective, we treat, probably the most common thing we treat is abnormal bleeding problems, so abnormal periods. Then we deal with, you know, things like ovarian cysts, you know, sterilization procedures. You know, we do, you know, lots of birth control counseling, menopause counseling, incontinence work. So there are, you know, the whole host of women's health issues, you know, are something that our practice takes care of.
I think my favorite part would be the babies.
The babies. It's definitely, I mean, it's a very rewarding field to be in.
Yeah, and so what kinds of interactions do you have? A woman comes in, maybe you meet her for the first time when she's pregnant? Is that right?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes we have patients that are, you know, usually see their family physicians for their routine care, but then come to us for their pregnancy care. And so we see them early in their pregnancy and then follow them throughout their pregnancy with, you know, any of the issues that might come up, you know, problems with their blood pressure, problems with diabetes, those kinds of things that might complicate pregnancy. But, you know, the nice thing is that most women have very uncomplicated, healthy pregnancies. And so we just help them, you know, appreciate their pregnancy and hopefully get through it a little easier.
Well, and so how do you, I presume that you like to establish a rapport with your patients. Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about a pregnant mom. She discovers she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. She comes in. And let's just say she's a young person, that this hasn't happened with. She hasn't been pregnant before.
Sure.
How does that interaction go? Do you have a plan of building
rapport? I mean, you know, our first visit is usually kind of a longer visit, and it involves just general discussion about what to expect through their pregnancy, the changes that their body is going through and might go through over the next few months, you know, unexpected issues that might arise during their pregnancy, how to take care of themselves through their pregnancy, lifestyle alterations that might be required. So that visit is really all about, you know, trying to give them a little sense of how things are going to change for them over the next 8, 9, 10 months. And then, you know, as pregnancy progresses, different issues come up and different stages of the pregnancy come up, and then there are different tests and procedures and things that might be required. So we try to give them just a general understanding of what might be out there to be expected.
And so you might meet with a woman how many times?
You know, on average, it's probably about 9 to 10 times during the pregnancy. For some women who have complications, it might be 30 times, you know. So it just depends on what's going on with their lives and their pregnancies and their medical history, how often we see them.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Tamaya Dasanayake with the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Now, how do you establish, I'm sure this is a difficult question, but I'm curious, how do you establish the balance between being the doctor that knows, that has the background, has the knowledge to help them, and be the authority, but still building a relationship where you communicate at a more personal level?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think our role is to educate our patients. It's not to force them into doing things that they don't want to do. So I think, you know, our goal is to kind of give them the information they need to make decisions that are appropriate for them. And, you know, given a certain situation, people will make different choices. And as long as it's within the realm of, okay, you know, normalcy, I think that's fine. So I think that's our role, is not to, you know, push information down their throats, but it's to try to educate them so they can make good decisions for themselves. I mean, there's very rarely an absolute right and an absolute wrong way to go, I think, in medicine. So just giving people options, I think, is always the best way.
Mm-hmm. But like with some things, there shouldn't, well, I guess there shouldn't be any options. You want to quit smoking and drinking,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure, yes. I mean, but you know, those sort of lifestyle habits are very hard for people to do, myself, and you know, I mean, we all have habits that are hard for us to break. So all I can do is try to give them the resources they can use to try to help them with those kinds of issues. But I can't go out there and take the cigarette out of their mouth.
You might want to.
I might want to, but I can't do that. But you know, I think, you know, people are people. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect. And I think you have to work with what they can give you at every instance.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about everybody, but I'm better off with a doctor I like.
Yeah.
If I don't
That's true.
Like a doctor, I'm just like, I'm not paying any attention to you. I don't even like you.
Because
doctors used to be more standoffish and more authoritarian.
Right.
I guess that's what I don't want.
Right.
And so we've changed. Medicine has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think people are, I think patients are much more involved in their, in the decision making about what happens to them. And now with, you know, these open medical records laws, you know, I think you have more access to your information, you know, if you choose to have that. So I think that's all good. Those are all good changes in medicine, you know. I think, you know, we have to make sure that patients, though, have tools to understand the information. I mean, you can look up a diagnosis on the internet, but it's not filtered in any way. So our job is to kind of filter that information with respect to the patient themselves and their personal histories. So, you know, information is information. There's a lot of it out there. But I think our role as physicians should be to make sure that information is tailored to that particular patient and their history and their medical history and their surgical history and their family history. And that's a very different issue to just reading, you know, reams of information in an unfiltered sense.
A lot of it's nonsense, right?
Yes, a lot of it's nonsense, and anybody can write anything out there, you know, so I think our job is to kind of try to tailor that information to the person in front of us.
So meeting with maybe, you know, 9 times with somebody, you must get to know them pretty well. And if you have, they have several children and you go into midlife with them, they become pretty familiar to
you. Yes, absolutely. That's one of the nice things about my job, I think. You know, even having been in this area only for, you know, the last 10 or 12 years, you know, there are still patients that I've seen from, you know, before they had their first child to their third and now dealing with other issues later in life. So it's a really nice experience to see them grow and change and how their families are growing. So,
well, do they become friends?
You know, I always think it's important to have a distinction between physician and friend. You know, I think they become people that I know very well and care about, you know, but I think, you know, I think it's not like a friend that you go have drinks with after work, you know. But I think, so I always try to maintain that separation whenever possible. And I think that's important too. I think you have to make good judgments about the patient in front of you from a clinical standpoint. And it's hard to take care of friends, you know, I think. So I think you always want to try to maintain your professionalism and try to do that the best you can.
Well, for some of these women, you know, must know their bodies like the back of your hand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think that's very true. I think that's true for any physician that's been in practice for a little while. I think you get to know your patients, and that's really the interesting, you know, fulfilling part of the whole process.
Now, paperwork is increasing. Mm-hmm. Does that take away from the experience of medicine?
I think it does in some ways. I mean, I think every time we have a new system that we have to work with or a computer system we have to work with, it does, you know, take a while to adjust to that change. And I think everybody deals with that a little bit differently. But I think there are a few more barriers between you and the patient nowadays. You know, I think, you know, 30 or 40 years ago it was insurance companies, and, you know, more recently it's probably computers. But I think, you know, that is the way of the world, and there are good things about the computer systems as well as, you know, not so good things. So it's just kind of part of our world, so we have to work with it.
Yeah, I get the impression you'd much rather be working with patients than typing on a keyboard.
Any day. Should have learned typing in school, but I didn't do that.
Well, what's the best part of your job?
I really think it's just the interaction over time with patients. That's what I enjoy the most. I like seeing people back that I've seen for years and, you know, seeing how their lives are going and their lives are changing. And to me, that's the best part.
It must be fun watching those babies grow up, too.
Yes, I like seeing pictures a lot. Yes.
Thanks to Dr. Tamara Dasanayake for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.